wanna be down with the king.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
7 o'clock. ESPN 97.5. John and Lance.
Are we on?
Along with Tyler. Yeah, we're on. It's 7 o'clock, so yes, we're on. That's a good start.
We got a fun show today.
No man do we ever.
And,
it's Super Bowl show.
It is. It's a Super Bowl show. There is a lot to get to here in the NBA draft trade deadline, even including your Rockets. Your Rockets made kind of a surprise deal before the deadline. It's not going to be what it looks like, so we'll tell you what that means. You have 8 o'clock. We've got Mattress Mack, who made a $4.5 million bet on the Bengals to win the Super Bowl.
Money line.
At 8:30, we've got Freaky Deaky. He's got the rules of the side game, and this is Valentine's edition. Every year, he calls in with different types of advice for those of you who are doing things a little shady. He's got advice for you. And then, of course, at 9 o'clock, we'll have Tony the Hatchet Man Valentine from the Inside Sports Syndicate to hook us up with some different prop bets and looks at the Super Bowl and how long the national anthem will last. We'll see if he has any inside information on that.
Well, of course, he has some inside information, so we will talk to him. That's a good show. So we got a lot of stuff to do here, and we start with, okay, James Harden. James Harden traded to the 76ers, which I knew was going to happen. Daryl's undying love for James Harden will never end. James Harden and Paul Millsap go to the 76ers. Ben Simmons, Seth Curry, Andre Drummond, and two first-round picks go to the 76ers. Excuse me, to the Nets.
But the flip, do you know about the flip side of it? The Nets send draft pick, first-round picks, their first-round picks, to the Sixers.
That's what I said. Yeah.
Two of them. No. The other one. It goes the other way too. They go both ways.
Oh, the Nets receive. Right. Well, this.
No, yeah. The Nets receive, and the Sixers. I don't think you knew that when we were talking on the.
Yes,
text
I did. Yes, okay. I did. Yeah.
So the Sixers get the Nets two. One is not lottery protected.
Right.
And then one of them is just is lottery protected.
Yeah, this is poorly written on this website. It's actually misinformation.
So here's what happens. You get basically. Sixers may get higher draft picks now based on basically the flip-flops of draft picks in different seasons. They're not flipping draft picks. They're actually getting each other's picks. We'll see which ones end up the best. It's basically James Harden for Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons hadn't played all year, and so the 76ers traded nobody except salary spot for James Harden. James Harden didn't want to play anymore. We know that with the Nets. We got a lot to get to in that regard. Here's what I heard yesterday, that this move could be because they want that expiring contract. They get out of the additional year, or is it 2 years, of Simmons. And Harden, if they want, because my whole point was, why would Daryl make a deal? Like, why would he give this kind of contract? It doesn't make sense. And the person I talked to said, because who said he's given a deal? Said, if they're not happy with the way things look or whatever, they let James walk. They've now gotten rid of an entire chunk.
Yeah.
And they can bring in a max contract guy in free agency to pair with Embiid. And I hadn't really thought of the angle of just getting rid of money in a dead contract, basically, with Ben Simmons. And I guess this could just, what they could do is take this opportunity to help this year, but then free up a giant chunk of space where they get to hit reset with a brand new superstar with Joel Embiid.
Again, you're underestimating Daryl's love for James
Harden.
No,
I think that actually makes more sense that could be on the
that
the
he just if, gets if, rid of James Harden?
If Daryl is still an analytics guy, well, he gets rid of whatever it was, $80 million.
It won't be long before a max extension is announced for James Harden with the 76ers.
If it does, then Daryl is out of the analytics community. Because it legitimately, and I mean this, I kick him out of our society. Because it wouldn't make sense to give a guy who's 37, 38 years old upwards of $60 million. It just, at no point have we seen Daryl operate.
And again, in it's that a regard. Matter of the heart. I mean, and you just can't.
There's no, I told you, Daryl Morey doesn't really have a beating heart.
He has a beating heart.
He has electrodes
you don't understand.
That pump through an energy cell.
Even the biggest of nerds have a soft spot in their heart.
It's not a soft spot.
And an undying love.
It's not a soft spot. It's clearly driven by numbers. Mm. This is the most efficient score. This is the most efficient score. I must have. This is no longer an efficient player, and his number, his salary number is going to exceed his expected outcome. I know you're going to see. I believe you will see.
And you didn't think that he would trade him either. Yesterday you said
that's not
true. The trade won't happen.
No,
yes, you did.
No, I said he won't give up outrageous amount for him. That's what I told you. I said he's going to either get him next year. He'll get him this year with his terms, or next year as a free agent. That's what I said. I said he wouldn't do a bad deal for James, and I don't think he did a bad deal.
Well, we'll see.
He gave up Harwin, Steph Curry, and a guy who hadn't even played any football. I mean, any basketball all year long. What did he give up? He gave up two picks, and he's going to get two picks.
So every single one just says it's Ben Simmons, Seth Curry, Andre Drummond, and two first-round picks to Brooklyn in exchange for Harden and Paul Millsap. Not one says.
Go read Wojnarowski's bump underneath his original tweet. He's got the other things.
Because not one of these.
One is 2014, one is 2017. 17 is protected for, or 17 is unprotected. I think 4 is protected.
Yeah. Adrian Wojnarowski details the trade that sends James Harden, Paul Millsap to the Philadelphia 76ers, Ben Simmons, Seth Curry, Andre Drummond, and two first round picks to the Nets. Mm-hmm. Daryl gave up picks. He's not getting any.
Okay.
This is Adrian Wojnarowski saying it.
You're reading it on Twitter?
Yeah, I'm reading it on ESPN.
Here, I'll read what his tweet said, because in the screenshot yesterday, it had it showed what he said was the move. So I'll go back and see if I can find this.
Again, it's not a well. We'll see. I've seen a lot of places that have great. Both of them are a good trade for both teams. It's good for the Nets to get out of James Harden, who probably wasn't ever going to play again.
It's better for the Sixers to get rid of their player who wasn't going to play ever again for 3 years.
Again, I think it's good for both teams because James Harden might have had his fat suit on in Brooklyn because he just does not want to.
100%.
How stupid was it that Adrian Wojnarowski reported that James Harden does not want to come out and tell the Nets that he wants to be traded because he doesn't want everybody to know that he doesn't want to be on a second team in 2 years. Adrian Wojnarowski is reporting that. You know what that means? That you don't want to be on a team again.
Second
year in a row.
You know what? You are right. The second one was, this is what the Sixers are sending. Like, these are what the picks are.
Correct.
2022 first. And a 27.
Daryl gave up two first round picks.
And a 2027 protected, right, which he doesn't. He
finds
the
first
value.
One's unprotected.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
Well, unprotected this year. What's it going to be? You'll get the 2019.
Yeah.
Pick.
So, I mean, Daryl, well, there's Daryl, though. He doesn't give a rat's ass about
a
first round picks.
Pick,
and never has. So, James Harden, it was not only trade night, but it was also Kevin Durant and LeBron James picking all star reserves for their teams.
This is so good. And it was NFL honors, which we'll get to later.
We're going to get to that a little bit.
So what about this timing couldn't have been better. Now, keep in mind here, we're going to listen to this. They're picking, it's Kevin Durant and LeBron James are picking the All-Star teams. LeBron is not known as a big James fan. I don't think he has any respect for him. There's never been any talk about, it's one of those cordial things, but they don't hang out, and I don't think he's a very big fan of this. Now, when you hear this, LeBron James.
So they're on with Ernie, Kenny, Shaq, and Charles Barkley.
Yeah, the draft is, they're doing it player by player. Now, as we get down, you're going to hear that they're going through the roster of who Kevin Durant should draft, and there's not many players left.
There's two,
and at the
right?
end, he ends up drafting, there's two players, Rudy Gobert, who's nobody's friend in the league, the French guy, and Kevin Durant and James Harden. James Harden is the last player. He's not selected. He's the last kid who automatically goes, all right, I got Kevin. Okay, Squirty goes to your team then. Like when the kid they call Lil Squirt, you know, he has to go on the last team. He doesn't get picked. He's just added. That was James. James was the right fielder of Little League Baseball yesterday.
Right. So here they are with only two players left on the board.
I'm going to need some size for sure. Yeah. I'm going to need some size and you know, some defense in the interior.
Yeah.
Especially with Giannis and LeBron James such great basketball this year. I need somebody to offset that, so I'm going to go with Rudy Gobert.
I agree.
That worked out nicely for you.
That worked out nicely.
I mean, he can't let people run through the lane and dunk all the time. Got somebody defending back there.
Hey, that's chess, not checkers. Mm-hmm. Hey, that's hey, when somebody want out, you let them go. Don't let them come back. I'm with you, KD. Yeah,
that's why I cut my hair off. I was like, I'm gone.
So James Harden goes to LeBron James as the final selection of the All-Star draft.
Shaq.
Is he hasn't played. Is he healthy?
Who's that?
James, he hasn't played. What happens if he doesn't?
Oh, he got traded. He's healthy now.
He's missed the last three with a hammy. And now we know why LeBron carries a clipboard with him to the draft.
Hey, LeBron, oh my gosh, trust me right now. He's rubbing some ice hot on that thing. He's playing the next game.
No questions.
I can't with y'all.
KD, bring a clipboard. It comes in very handy.
Yeah, you can hide your face like LeBron's been doing.
Oh, that. So LeBron had a clipboard, and when Charles said that, he put it over his face so he was laughing.
I want to ask
and
you.
And KD started laughing, too. How could KD possibly take James Harden after he quit on him.
He quit on him. I don't know that I've ever seen a player. Well, that's not true. But James is going to go out as one of the only superstar players I've ever seen who is just like, I don't want to say he's not respected in the league, but I think that he's got, this is hard for me to find the words for. I don't want to say clownish thing going on, and I don't want to say players don't respect him, but there's something about I think they see James as kind of like this incredible troll job on the entire league, where you have a guy who plays almost troll level defense, where it's so bad that it's captured in 10 cuts of a single game, and fans are going, hey, what the hell is this? James standing around when he was a Rocket, and guys are back cutting him left and right, and he never sees anything. It's like he's doing this on like this is an Andy Kaufman bit. It's like this is a bit. James shows up fat, and then is not fat anymore after he gets traded, and then the very next year he weasels his way. He Mitch Fox sleeping bag quits his way out of a super team. This is just. It's like it's a huge bit that they're doing.
I don't know what the maybe they don't respect. I don't think they respect him.
I think they all know he's at the gentleman's clubs. He's out with the baby.
Got a day off. Like he's flying down to the Bahamas.
Yeah, when a day is off in the middle of a season where you're chasing championships.
Yeah, right.
Like, and Chris Paul is very good friends with LeBron James. What do you think Chris Paul thinks
what do you think he told him
that's
about?
That's what I'm saying. You think LeBron James has any respect for him?
None.
Now KD
can't stand him now. And yeah, I mean,
Chris Paul.
I mean, any guy that works his ass off for a championship looks at James and just goes, really, dude.
You know what you're getting. Really, and if the king of Twitter troll, Joel Embiid, if James goes sideways on him, he will annihilate
him. By the way, you know that's going to happen. How long does this relationship last?
It feels because he feels some type of way also on a regular basis, Joel Embiid. So, I mean, you knew that Russ wouldn't work.
Every single star that James has played with, he can't get along because they don't respect him.
Right.
They hate the way he goes about it, and it comes to blows. And this is what's going to happen with Joel. It'll be interesting to see who outlasts whom in Philadelphia. Joel Embiid. Or James when Daryl is there. I'll guarantee. I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to predict that Joel Embiid will be traded from Philadelphia in the next 3 years.
Daryl Morey, you just think Daryl Morey has gone completely.
Well, you watch.
The stupidest person in the world.
You watch. He made the trade. He made the trade like I said he was going to make.
Like
I'm telling you, his love for that man is undying.
34-year-old James Harden getting ready to make $55 million a year. He wants the best young player he can get. It isn't James.
Well,
it's Joel
he can't
Embiid.
Get 55 now because he's with a new team. He won't have bird rights.
He can't get 55. He can get 50.
We'll see what he gets. We'll see. He's going to get the max that he can possibly get. I'm telling you right here and right now. 715 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. When we come back, NFL Awards, we will talk about it on the other side. But right now we're talking about who's the best. Who's the best car dealer in the city of Houston? Now some of my peeps over at Chastain Ford. And this is not hyperbole. They are the best. They are going to give you the best deal. I heard stories, oh my gosh, about car deal. Well, especially in really expensive cars. Like they're going up $100,000. And these dealerships are getting it. And it's unbelievable what the car market is today. And yet at Chastain Ford, you're going to get the best price that you can possibly get. Period, exclamation point. You're going to get rebates. You're not going to get markups. You're not going to have add-ons. You're going to get the best deal you can possibly get because they're not greedy like all these other dealerships. It is unbelievable how these car dealers are today. And yet Chastain Ford has the same philosophy that they've always had. Even during these tough car times, they are going to get you that vehicle at the best price that they possibly can, and they're going to give you the best service that they possibly can. This happens every single day. It will happen with you, I promise you, at Chastain Ford. You tell them you heard it right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Go get that van. Oh, and by the way, in February, you buy a vehicle from Chastain Ford and you get a Yeti cooler. That's nice. All you got to do is go to ChastainFord.com or get to the dealership. It's on Homestead, not Hempstead, on 610, just 5 minutes from downtown Chastain Ford.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
The Bench!
Tell them again!
The Bench!
Stay tuned for more John and Lance coming up in a few minutes.
Can't wait!
You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, so as expected, Aaron Rodgers wins the MVP, right? I mean that was obvious, right? Aaron Rodgers was going to be MVP, period, exclamation point. There's no question about that, right? So,
I don't know. I thought there was a question if people would
Brady?
Vote for him. No, I mean, I honestly think you could have made for a case for Cooper Kupp.
Yeah, but they weren't going to vote for Cooper Kupp.
But why not, though? Well, listen, I'm glad Rodgers won.
Because
somebody who's on the plus 1,000 team after week one, mm-hmm. when everyone's like, Aaron Rodgers is done!
Yeah.
Whoa.
You got 10-1.
One game?
Yeah.
One game Aaron Rodgers is done? But anyway. You think about this, Cooper Kupp's ability to win the Triple Crown, catches, yards, touchdowns, and obviously a quarterback is going to have more better numbers than that receiver. For that receiver to be that dominant above everyone else, I think you could have made a legitimate case for
I
Cooper
think you
Kupp.
Could too.
Like,
but
we've never seen these numbers other than Randy Moss.
Well, he won Offensive Player of the Year, did Cooper Kupp. It's a quarterback's award now. That's all there is to it. It's going to be so hard for anybody else to win an MVP. It used to be a running back award. Now it's a quarterback. And you know, hey, listen, you could have made a case for Brady. You made a case for Cooper Kupp. You could have made it, and Aaron Rodgers. It was the three of them, but I think it was pretty much a foregone conclusion. The media, was going to give it to Aaron Rodgers. Now, I'm not sure how much the media loves Aaron Rodgers with all of his thoughts on vaccine and everything else. But you can't deny how great he was.
That was his award.
Yeah, right.
If there's people who weren't going to vote for him because of something about the vaccine stuff, and he didn't do. I mean, you're not doing your job. You're supposed to be a conduit for all the fans and helping represent the sport with the awards the way they're supposed to be.
Listen, that's his fourth MVP. That's his fourth MVP award.
Aaron Rodgers won four?
Four MVP awards. He's obviously a Hall of Famer, but there is still a disappointing factor in that he's won one Super Bowl.
I mean, Peyton got his second on the limping out of the league.
Elway in his last year, and it took Terrell Davis for him to get those.
Yeah.
But he had been to Super Bowls. He had taken his team to Super Bowls.
Yeah, Elway had been there lots. Manning had been the guy. You know, Manning, you won't think about it now because he's larger than life, but Manning is the guy who could never beat Steve Spurrier, got into the league, couldn't really beat the Patriots that often,
nope.
And then ended up winning a Super Bowl, which, you know, against a Bears team, frankly, that was overmatched, but got to another one.
And lost to the Saints.
Got to another one, lost to the Saints, in large part because of his pick six.
Yep.
To Porter. So,
But then he
got there again. That's true. He got there four times. Got there and got smashed by Legion of Boom.
Yep.
And after an unbelievable season, world-breaking, you know, record-setting season. And then the next year, the next time he gets in was 2 years later, right?
Or was it the following year?
Yeah, next year he looks like he can't even throw a football anymore.
And he will. Brock Osweiler carried him.
But they win because Von Millered him.
Yeah, because Brock Osweiler carried him. So, but he's got two. He's got two, and that's the difference. And seven is the difference between Brady and Aaron Rodgers. You could make the case that Aaron Rodgers, well, is quite possibly the most talented player to ever play the position.
I don't think anyone even. That's actually, whenever I've brought this up to football people, it's not even. The most talented player that's ever played is Aaron Rodgers, you know, because he has the accuracy of, you know, this guy. He's got the arm strength of
the release of Marino, and
you've got the unbelievable mobility still to this day. So, yeah, I think Aaron Rodgers, it's one of the reasons that there's a decent chance he leaves.
Now, what is he? Well, we'll see. Here is Aaron Rodgers talking about what he's going to do next year.
You know, like I said in the last press conference, you know, I'll make a decision in due time and not in a ton of time, you know, before I give the team plenty of time to, you know, do what they got to do. And, you know, I think that time is coming. What day is today here? It's like the 10th or something. Yeah. So, I mean, there'll be a decision in the near future. And, I'm not going to keep a lot of people waiting.
That's good. Well, here's the deal. What are the Packers going to do? They got to go with Jordan Love. They have to. I mean, I don't think there's any question. They got to.
Did you think the Cardinals had to go with Josh Rosen?
Yeah, they did for a year, and then they found out.
Yeah, this has been 2 years with Jordan Love.
No, but he hasn't played. He hasn't played yet. So,
but put him
in the game.
Ask Dana if he knows after watching guys in practice.
Yeah.
The Packers know. If the Packers think he does, then they'll roll with him. If they don't, then they'll have to try to. They'll probably roll with him for 1 year regardless.
Well, here's what they'll do: is they'll have to pick up a Case Keenum or.
I found a guy, by the way, in the draft yesterday. I found a guy that I did not expect to be the guy when I watched his tape.
A quarterback?
I found a quarterback. Yeah, I found him. I gave him what amounts to a grade of a 61, which would be like a third or fourth. But
that's one of the best quarterbacks in the draft, a third rounder.
I think he can become a low-end starter.
A low-end starter?
Not any of the guys. I'm actually going to give him a grade that's similar to Sam Howell.
Okay. And his name is?
He was a senior quarterback. He switched from one school to another school in the Midwest. Maybe hard for you to, because he used to be with one team that was a grinder, meat grinder running team.
Oh, you're talking about the Penn State kid that went to? No?
But you're in the right conference.
Well,
you're actually not in the right conference, but you should be in the right conference.
What? No? Huh? Yeah,
think about it. Who's a school that should be in a conference that isn't?
Notre Dame?
Yeah. They should be a Big Ten.
They should be. Oh, really?
Jack Cohn. Jack Cohn, who went from Wisconsin to Notre Dame. I watched Jack Cohn's tape and I was like, dude, Cohn is he is really processing.
He had one bad game.
He had against Cincinnati. He had a really bad interception against Cincinnati. But this guy, at the end, he threw for 500 yards and 5 touchdowns against Oklahoma State. That's his last game of the year. His last 4 games were fantastic, and you can see him getting better. His receivers weren't that good at all, but especially early in the season. And all of a sudden, I'm watching this Jack Cohn tape, and I'm like, this guy's making He's delivering the ball with pretty good accuracy. He's reading defenses really, really well. He looks calm in the pocket. He's sliding around.
He was in Wisconsin. He's a big white guy.
You know what he reminded me of? He reminded me of...
That's perfect for the Packers.
Absolutely. He reminded me of... his arm's fine. He reminded me of when I watched Davis Mills a little bit.
Really?
Actually, like, not quite... Not the same delivery and all that stuff, but...
Who'd you comp Davis, him to?
I don't know. I got to do that today. I got to figure out who I'm going to comp him to. But he was, and I texted a personnel guy like, "Hey, I think I found a quarterback." This guy goes, "I said the Notre Dame kid." They go, "Jack Cohn? He's all right. He's a backup. He's all right. Fourth rounder." I said, "Yeah, I think he's going to go. That's fine. I think he's going to go third or fourth." But I'm just telling you, the tape's pretty good on Jack Cohn. It's always fun where I'm watching. I'm like. Every once in a while, I'll have DeMarvin Leal, who I was all excited about. I'm like, what? This is it? This is DeMarvin Leal, the top 8 pick or whatever? Now you'll notice he's – I try to tell y'all, now you'll notice he's popping out of everyone's mock drafts. You notice that? He's out of the first rounds of all these mock drafts now. They're starting to figure it out, or they're copying other people. So then I turn on Jack Cohn. I'm like, this Jack Cohn tape, this better not take me long. And then I realize, no, I've got something pleasant to watch before I have to – Before I have to finish with Skylar Thompson, E.J. Perry, and Caleb Ellaby.
How about that? Hey, if Jack Cohn turns out to be a player, you were on him first.
Yeah, I'm going to have a grade on him. It's going to be higher than most.
That's good.
Well, also because I'm going to have a grade on Sam Howell that's lower than everyone.
Oh, really? Yeah. Well, we'll see how that works out for you.
Mel
Kiper says he's up there.
He's slightly souped up. Kay. Sam Ellinger is what he is.
Oh, gosh. That's ugly. When we come back, we'll get to the rest of the awards in the NFL, just to go through some of them. And if you haven't seen who won or what, we will break it down on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. What's happening on Monday? Oh, that's right. It's Valentine's Day. So where do you go to get her something last minute? I know where you go. You go to Klein's Jewelry. My man, Mark, is going to take care of you at Klein's. He is going to make sure. You're going to get something really nice for her. He's got everything in stock right there. But if you stop by today or you call him today, then he is going to be able to make that for you in a hurry. But she's going to love it. I'm telling you right here and right now, you can be saved on Valentine's Day with something that's relatively inexpensive. But he's got everything that you could possibly want. Diamonds, earrings, bands, bracelets, pendants, whatever it is. You want to give her that ring this Valentine's Day? Get over to Mark, and he's going to take care. I'm telling you, I get my jewelry from Mark, and I'm telling you, it's the best. It is the best. 5868 Westheimer, you can give him a call. He'll do it. You can do it over the phone. You can text him exactly what you want. Send him a picture exactly what you want, and he can make it right there. 832-316-1388. That's right. He can make stuff that other people charge a lot more for. He can make it and make it look just like that. I promise you. 832-316-1388 or 5868 Westheimer. It's Klein's Jewelry.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So, Rookie of the Year, they got right. Jamar Chase was the Pepsi Rookie of the Year. He was also the Offensive Rookie of the Year. And Michael Parsons was the Defensive Rookie of the Year. I mean, I don't.
Unanimous.
I think that's
he had votes for Player of the Year. Yeah. Defensive Player of the Year, I think.
Yeah.
You had Aaron Donald, T.J. Watt, and Michael Parsons. Those are really phenomenal seasons.
Yeah.
Michael Parsons is interesting because now – teams are going to have to look. So what happened, if you don't know, Michael Parsons was, he's got a little edge. He's got a little edge.
The stories at Penn State he had a hazing. Ugly.
There's a hazing story with him, and it's more than one. So he had something in high school where he yelled, basically fire caused, he got in trouble for quote-unquote causing a riot, where he got people worked up in the school cafeteria, got in a lot of trouble at school for that. he had a hazing thing where he did some ugly stuff to a teammate who ended up suing during this hazing.
Really ugly.
Yeah. He opted out of his sophomore season, his redshirt sophomore season, due to COVID, entered the draft, so he hadn't even played. He had an unbelievable pro day. Like, it was just unbelievable what his numbers were athletically. So he gets drafted. He would have been drafted higher. I think I had him as the third or fourth highest rated player in the whole draft. But, you know, the stuff in his background scared some people. Then the Cowboys needed defensive end help, pass rush help. And they said, well, you did this in high school. You're a defensive end. Can you play? He goes, yeah, I'll play it. He basically just uses his athletic gifts and his unbelievable explosiveness to put together a unanimous rookie of the year, defensive rookie of the year season. He was unbelievable. And now Dallas has got to figure out, because they got a bunch of linebackers who are probably going to be leaving. Now they got to figure out, do we just let him play fast by rushing him at the end like a Lawrence Taylor? Let him play as fast as he can at a high-impact position like pass rusher? Or do we put him back at his drafted position, a linebacker? I'm to the point where I would keep running him out at pass rusher until it doesn't make sense anymore. Now, what they could do is play him a linebacker and then rush him on third downs. They could still do that and get the absolute most out of him playing at his best position.
He was on our air yesterday with Bart Scott. And, you know, he and Bart were mixing it up a little bit. But you want to talk about what a weapon that is when he can play inside at backer, go sideline to sideline, and
side
rush
to sideline
outside,
with 4.4 speed.
And rush outside past 320 or 30-pound offensive tackles. Holy crap.
If I showed you some of his tape, from 2019, he's a guy who basically was like, it was like watching him follow a running back, you know, from the second level, scrape and make plays and change direction with the running back, like his change of direction. It was like I was watching, this is not really even hyperbole, it's like I was watching Saquon Barkley again, but at linebacker. He had the same leg thickness. He's actually bigger, obviously, than Saquon. It was like watching a bigger Saquon Barkley. That's how he moved. I think he also played running back in high school as well.
Oh,
so,
I can see that, yeah.
Yeah, you could totally see that. So, but the question is, do the Dallas Cowboys stick with a guy who's playing at this high-impact level, and do other teams start saying, hey, let's just put athletes at pass rusher. Let's just go put our best guys.
But this is the question, though, because Michael Parsons had all that stuff all over him.
Yeah.
And he lasted in the draft longer than he should have. He should have been a top 3-4 pick because of how good he is.
Even with
the opt-out. But the Cowboys, you know the Cowboys, they ain't worried about background. Mm-mm. You know, with Randy Gregory, with the guy with the guns. Greg Hardy. Holy crap. What a POS. And so they're like,
Zeke,
whatever.
Elliott. Hey, let me tell you, Zeke had some stuff on him in the background before he got in trouble.
I mean, they don't care about that stuff, so that's fine. They were the ones that took a chance on him, and they're benefiting from him. If he's a model citizen for the rest of the time here, then you go, wow. Now, how do we ignore the stuff that happens in college now when you're talking about a great player like this, or how do we judge that now?
No, they're still going to, because you also have Greg Robinson. Let's go ahead and bring that one out, too. the guy just got clipped the second time for drugs. Not only was he a washout.
Drugs.
Not only was he a washout, he got caught with like 9 different types of drugs, a lot of it, too. And he's going to go to prison for a long time. He was a 2014 pick. And I don't know if he had background concerns or not. I was doing draft stuff, but not for the NFL. But, you know, you also have those issues, too. And you have guys who, if you know they're turds going in, you know, if you're going to call a guy a turd, there's a difference between being immature, having edge, and being a turd. Those are 3 different types of things. And if a guy is a turd, then it involves not working hard. It involves not doing what they're supposed to do. I think that guys who are bad guys that people think they're going to be in trouble, you know, there was some issues with the TCU linebacker. Oh, God, I loved him. The TCU linebacker who was drafted.
Wallow.
No. No, it was not Wallow. But TC linebacker, Jeff Gladney. Jeff Gladney. He was drafted in the late first round by the Minnesota Vikings. But I had a scout swear on everything. I had a scout tell me he will be arrested within 3 years. And I thought he was just kind of, you know, I'm like, why do you say that? And we talked a little bit about it. He said, I think that the Minnesota Vikings are just going to ignore the character stuff on him. They did. He was arrested within 1 year. Jeff Gladney got in trouble within 1 year. He was arrested. And I don't think it's I mean, he's like a guy who will not be back, so I don't believe, in football anymore. So you got to pay attention to those character stuff. But when a guy's that talented, why the Cowboys are like, well, pays off.
Now we'll see. Hopefully Micah Parsons is going to – after what he did to his teammate, I don't think I want him in my locker room.
It doesn't show up, but that kind of stuff is not going to show up in year one anyway. Not usually. Now, Isaiah Wilson was known as a turd behind scenes too, and he blew up. Here's what I do think. In this day and age with more social media access where you're going to tattletale on yourself anyway, and then a little bit more enabling with the younger players who are coming out, I think you'll tell on yourself very quickly. I don't think it'll take until second contract where you find out about guys. It'll be one of those things within 2 years you're going to know if you've got a bad character guy.
All right. Moment of the year was Justin Tucker's 66-yard field goal, and rightfully so. Yeah. That was huge. What else? Oh, defensive.
I think it was the Texans covering second half against Rams.
Assistant coach of the year, Dan Quinn. Congratulations to him.
Yeah.
That was nice. Joe Burrow won the Courtyard Unstoppable performance for his Week 17 performance against the Chiefs. I didn't either. The FedEx Aaron Ground Players of the Year, Tom Brady won air, and Jonathan Taylor won ground.
Well, okay, so who was the comeback player of the year?
Joe Burrow.
Okay, that's who I vote on NFL.com. I voted Burrow.
Yeah.
Some people had Dak Prescott.
And
then the head coach of the year, I actually voted LaFleur.
It was Mike Vrabel.
Vrabel won. Vrabel was everyone else's pick, but I voted LaFleur there.
DraftKings Fantasy Player of the Year, Cooper Kupp. He was on my team.
That's an easy
the
pick.
The best. Is he the number one pick next year?
No, Jonathan Taylor is. Yeah. Everyone's like, I was reading an article the other day. Is there any possible it's anybody but Jonathan Taylor?
Yeah.
He catches passes. He runs for touchdowns. And then you can find other wide receivers. You're like, it's going to be Taylor, but it's probably going to be Taylor and then Kupp.
Up in then Kupp, probably.
Yeah, Taylor Kupp, 1-2.
You need such a running back. But I can't. I wouldn't pass. If Cooper Kupp is sitting there, I cannot pass on that.
I don't know if Cooper Kupp even outscored Jonathan Taylor.
Because
remember, Jonathan Taylor ran for touchdowns and then caught touchdowns too.
No, I think Cooper Kupp led all fantasy for yards. Points.
You sure?
Yeah, with his yards and his catches and his touchdowns.
I don't know.
Yards, catches, and touchdowns. I think he led all players.
Yeah, well, but PPRs gives you a lot. Players,
yeah. And then,
PPRs a huge advantage.
Kupp beat him 355 to 333.
Kupp beat him.
Yeah.
But
so,
but he won't be first because you have to have a bigger gap. The gap in top running back, same reason why everyone in these daily fantasies, like Underdog that I do, everyone drafts, it used to be Kittle, but like Kelce is a lot of times the first pick of the draft.
Yeah.
Because you don't get many, like, if you've got to fill a tight end, how many tight ends do you have that are like that?
Yeah.
That's a huge advantage.
If you're in a three-receiver league as opposed to 2-2-2 or 2-2 flex, probably go Kupp. Because it's going to be thin receivers towards the end of the draft.
That's true. I'm in a three receiver league, and
Kupp's a
different. Well, you know who's the best though is Debo.
But yeah,
Debo.
Because
he's going to get you. He's going to get you rushing yards too.
I led our league in wins. You know why? I picked up Cordarrelle Patterson after week four, and Patterson was a monster.
Well, that's because he's playing running.
And Debo is even. Yeah, but he plays running back and wide receiver, just like Debo.
Yeah,
this is a new position. I'm already looking at the next guys. Debo, is there anyone that's going to do this year?
Is Debo a first rounder next year in fantasy? Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Absolutely. I had Debo Samuel, too.
The only issue with Debo was they never gave him the running back tag.
No.
Like they have some receivers who play running back in the past. If they would have done that, then but
he had over 1,200 yards receiving.
He lines up as a wide receiver.
Yeah. I know, but I mean,
stop
still
trying
lines
to ruin
up
our sports, Tyler.
They have to have a certain percentage to be able to give them that tag, but they gave it to Cordarrelle. I don't know. Well, I just wanted that more, so that way I had an extra
Well,
spot.
I didn't. I mean, once you draft him, as you draft. Oh, you're talking about for daily.
Look what Emerald's doing.
No,
right
for
now.
Season.
Like in Yahoo. Wait, they had a running back tag on him before the year started?
No. They never put a running back tag on him. No. They
well,
they should
could.
Have.
Them. No, and no, I, thought, not I, to, I not told our commissioner, I said, it's unfair. I ain't playing Debo and Cordero because they're running
it.
Backs.
I loved it.
Yeah. Yeah. That, guess
I
what?
Loved it. That's how I got my. That's how I got to all those wins.
Look what Emerald's making us right now.
I know. We got turned
some
in.
Kind of shrimp.
He's got an air fryer, but that
oh.
air fryer looks legit.
Legit.
Is an air fryer legit?
So, I don't know. I've
Are
never
they
had
good?
One. I
bought one. I haven't even used
yeah,
it.
Yeah, but you don't
good?
Have the olive oil in it? Come on.
Well, I mean,
come on.
Just
what are we
this,
doing here?
Literally pouring my wrist like this. All of a sudden, I got some olive oil. But you, that's the whole thing. You're not supposed to put, you barely have to put any in, supposedly.
Well, I don't give, you got to have olive oil in it. What do you use? Nuts? It's 744 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Lawrence, Craig the Surf, is it nuts? Is he?
No. Lawrence, we'll get to your call about U of H players in a sec. Well, I mean, okay. Craig DeSerf's not nuts, but he's a little bit crazy with some of the offers he's making. A lot of these dealerships right now, if you haven't looked for a car, I am getting a new lease on another Chevy Traverse. This is my third one. I'm getting a new lease coming up on either today or Monday. We're going to get that done. I've got a lot of draft stuff that I have to get done today, deadline stuff. So they are going to deliver the vehicle into Houston and take my other vehicle. This is not something they're just doing for me. If you are in a pinch, if you're in a bind, they'll do things like this because their customer service is just off the charts. And I'm telling you, this is not just a Lance thing. Their customer service, whether it's for your actual service, whether it's before the sale, after the sale, Craig DeSerf wouldn't have it any other way. Yes, you get 0% financing for very well-qualified buyers on Chevy and GM pickup trucks in stock right now in select models. But you also are going to get better trade-in value, and you will never have to pay over MSRP. Where the other guys are just crushing you because the supply side's low and the demand is high, that's not Craig DeSerf. And it's never going to be those guys. Whatever the MSRP, that's the highest they will go on a vehicle. They won't go over because they want to take care of you, and they want not only your second and third car business, but everyone in your family and all of your friends and neighbors. Make sure that you visit Craig DeSerf and Gulf Coast Chevy, Buick, GMC, and Angleton. To shop online, go to LanceZCars.com.
This is Jose Altuve, Alistair and MVP. If you need a new vehicle, get down to Gulf Coast Chevrolet with GMC. Chevy, find new roads.
The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You know, how long have we been doing this show now already today? 48 minutes, and we haven't even mentioned the Rockets. We will do that after we get this call in here. We got Lawrence, who's been waiting a while. Lawrence, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing? I had a question for Lance. Do U of H have any players that's going to the draft or the combine? And I got another question. How you look at James Harden's career as a whole? I hang up on this.
James Harden is one of the greatest scorers in NBA history, and and one of the biggest wastes of talent in NBA history. That's how I look at it. I wouldn't do it much different than James does. I'm critical, but I would do it about the same way. Have as much fun as you possibly can. I'm not nearly as talented as James, but I know I would have gone about it the same way. Let me have my fun. But that's why I'm not an NBA champion. That's why I'm not a champion. I'll never be a champion. But James is much the same way. He'll never be a champion because he doesn't do everything that it takes to be a champion. To me, we were in James Harden purgatory forever here because he's just good enough to get you close, but yet he can't put you over the top. The James elimination James was real. He just didn't show up in elimination games when you needed him the most. The chips were down. He just never did. He just never showed up. And now we're getting old. He's getting older and older. He's not the same guy that he was just a couple of years ago. So he will never win that NBA title. A lot of guys don't win NBA titles that are great. He's one of those guys. But I don't know. You could say that Charles didn't, Malone, Stockton, they didn't put everything into it. James, you could say he didn't put everything into it. Yeah,
he put a lot into his scoring. There's no question. He continued to add to his repertoire. He definitely put time. James works at it. He works at certain things.
Yeah,
that's what I would do. I was James. Did I want to lift and jump rope and do foot quickness stuff when I was playing? No. Would I go out and shoot and work on passes, behind the back dribbling and stuff, so I could get my basketball drip up? Yeah. Lewis Lloyd was my dude. Yeah, I had different priorities, but James is like that. James, it's really not even that much more complicated than that. Did he want to work at his defense? No. Did he want to be the best he could be? Where Michael Jordan tightens up his, you know, he tightens up his fadeaway game. He tightens up his 3-point shooting. He decided he was going to lead the league in assists one year. Now, James did do that. James could pass. But you're right. From a wasted talent standpoint, if James had the competitive nature of Chris Paul, it would be a wrap. We'd be talking about it. He'd be LeBron James if he had that competitive nature, because the work would have extended through longer periods of time. The defense would have mattered a little bit more to him. He would have demanded more of himself and held himself accountable. Do you hear how much money? Did you bring that up? How much money Chris Paul spends to keep himself in shape?
A million.
He did. Yeah.
$1 million a year.
$1 million a year to keep himself in shape.
Mm-hmm.
Like, could you? James spends that at a strip club.
Oh, and then some.
Yeah. So I mean, that's,
well, somebody's got to keep the community healthy. Okay, James does. James has.
I think the community is doing fine. Although I would think OnlyFans is putting a little salt in their game. Actually,
That could well be. His other question was U of H guys at the combine and in the draft.
So three: Pepe Williams, Damarion Williams. I looked at him last year. He's on my list of players to look up here over the next week. So I can't comment on that. Marcus Jones will get drafted. He had double shoulder surgery, which is why he couldn't play at the Senior Bowl. That's got to get looked at. You know, combine medicals will be a big deal for him. In talking to a team, I told them, and I thought the most interesting position for Marcus Jones is wide receiver, not cornerback. And they tended to agree just because of how much you get the ball in his hands and how explosive he is as a playmaker. Actually, this is a friend of mine on the Bears, and because we were talking about Devin Hester. We were talking about Marcus Jones and Devin Hester because Sato was there for Mark Sadowski was there when Devin Hester was drafted. He goes, I'm telling you, he said Hester was bigger than Marcus Jones, but he said that kind of impact, you just can't. He said there's a lot more kickoffs back when Devin Hester kick returns when Hester did it. But he said his punt return talent, when you have talent like that, he said it's hard to let talent like that go when you know they can play. And it wasn't like Devin Hester was this great receiver. He was all right.
No.
And Marcus Jones, to me, is a better cornerback than Devin Hester was a receiver. But the problem is he's short, and he's probably only a starting slot receiver, which is fine. But he is a legitimate two-way talent, potentially. So it wouldn't shock me if he got snaps on both sides. I think he'll go on day two. Logan Hall will go, I think, second round. So Houston could have 2 second-rounders this year. Logan Hall maybe could sneak into the first like Peyton Turner did. I don't see it on tape, and I thought at Senior Bowl he was just okay. But Cougars have two guys for sure, I think, who get drafted on day two of the draft inside the top 100. That's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty good. Shout out to
what about Damarion? Where's he going to go?
Don't know about Damarion yet. Well, I'll watch him in the combine. But he got invited to a combine, so that's that's half the battle. Only 337 players, I think, get invited, and
he can tackle now. That's for sure.
270 get drafted, so he's got a shot.
Yep.
Going back to Harden, I don't think y'all mentioned it whenever the news broke of him becoming a Sixer happened, but I don't think it was actually Woj that broke that news. It was a stripper on Twitter.
I saw that. So I saw that on February 9th. Read what the are we sure it's a stripper?
She's a performer.
And B, well, I saw the screen grab, and B, it could have been that it was a Sixer fan making a, like, pretending to know something, just because it's not like no one talked about the Sixers and James.
The fact that this chick, at FKA Buzz Hillary, I don't know if that indicates that she's a stripper, but the fact that she says, I just gave James Harden a lap dance, and he told me he's a Sixer.
I mean, that could easily be like a joke.
It definitely could be a joke. But, I mean, it came out 3:55 on February 9th. So I don't know that he's getting a lap dance at 3:30 in the afternoon. Maybe, maybe not. But it's pretty funny. If it's true, funny. If not.
She broke the story.
She did.
Give her love for it.
I don't know. Because this same person said, I think they're a bleep poster. They said, "Hello to new followers. You will be disappointed immeasurably." Then the next one said, "Hello, God. It's me, Hillary. Please don't make me have to delete my Twitter again. Bleep, 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 bleep. It's so long. Thanks, XOXO. Told you so." Yeah, I'm gonna look and see if it's really. Because this is really. Because it would be an unbelievable story.
Yeah.
Except that the timeline, I don't think James knew he was going to be a stripper at 3:40 on February 9th.
A sixer, not a stripper.
I mean, a sixer at 3:40.
He's always going to be with a stripper. So.
Yeah.
No. All right, when we come back, Mattress Mack's going to join us. And is it appropriate that right now I'm talking about my bookie? I mean, this dude is making the biggest bets in the history of sports gambling. That's what Mattress Mack does. I'm not sure my bookie will handle the kind of action that Mack puts, but they'll handle your action right now. I just got a text from them. They're going to give me an email from them. They're going to give me a $20 free play on the coin toss if I deposit $100. That's all I have to do is deposit another $100. And they said, "I'll give you a free play for $20. You know what? Most bookies don't do that, give you free plays. Most bookies will never give you. And you get a bunch of free plays, especially in big events, national championship games or Super Bowls or whatever the case may be. My bookie always comes up with big plays and wonderful plays. If you're looking for the best way to have fun, win, get paid, all of those things, go to mybookie.ag and start your deposit now. You're looking for a great way to just have some fun for the. You can't watch the big game without something on it. You got to have something on the big game, and it's at MyBookie. Enjoy, have fun, you'll love it. Bet responsibly. MyBookie.ag.
ESPN 97.5.